From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. Across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM, the world's most listened to late night talk show. Open lines this hour, next hour. You know, all this talk of nuclear dangers brings out Jeffrey Epstein from America's Truth Forum. I'm looking forward to talking with Jeffrey about this. Al-Qaeda plans to bring nukes into the United States. Very important program. Well, tonight the world is on its edge, sort of. A strong earthquake in northern Japan may have led the Tokyo government to suspect for a while that North Korea had conducted a second nuclear test. In Washington, White House spokesperson Blair Jones says that U.S. officials had not detected any evidence of additional North Korea testing. And now Japanese officials are saying that this occurrence may be related to an earthquake in northern Japan. The earthquake came at a time when the Japanese government and other countries in Asia were very jittery about reports that North Korea planned a second nuclear test. The UN Security Council is now debating against actions and sanctions against North Korea over claims it carried out those tests. China and Russia are urging sanctions, if you can believe that. China, North Korea's traditional ally, has called for punitive action against the country, but like Russia, it is against the use of military force. Japan has also urged sanctions, while South Korea said its military was remaining on high alert. The Security Council is discussing a U.S. proposal to impose strict sanctions. The U.S. ambassador to the United Nations said while the U.S. would not rule out using force, it was seeking a diplomatic solution. Some think that the U.S. proposals for a complete ban on military trade and inspections of all the cargo going in and out of North Korea are just way too stringent. A controversial new study contends that nearly 655,000 Iraqis have died because of the war, suggesting a far higher death toll than other estimates. In the new study, researchers attempt to calculate how many more Iraqis have died since March 2003 than one would expect without the war. Their conclusion, based on interviews of households and not a body count, is that about 600,000 people died from violence, mostly gunfire. They also found a small increase in deaths from other causes like heart disease and cancer. Deaths are occurring in Iraq now at a rate more than three times from before the invasion of March 2003, according to Dr. Gilbert Burnham, the lead author of the study. The study by Burnham of the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health and others is to be published Thursday on the website of The Lancet, which is a medical journal. An accurate count of Iraqi deaths has been difficult to obtain, but one respected group puts its rough estimate at closer to 50,000, and at least one expert was skeptical of the new findings. A northwestern Pennsylvania woman accused of using her baby as a club to batter her child's father said she didn't realize what she was doing until it was too late. What? Her name is Kairosha Graham, 27 years old of Erie, Pennsylvania, told police that she had been drinking when an argument with the child's father turned violent Sunday morning. So she picked up the baby, four-week-old son, Jaron, and started smashing him against her boyfriend's head. The baby, who was born on 9/11, suffered a fractured skull, bleeding in the brain after the incident. Graham, the woman, is being held on $75,000 bond. A weak El Nino underway in the Pacific Ocean should contribute to a mild winter for much of the United States. That's good news. The Department of Energy said winter heating bills are expected to be slightly lower for most families across the nation, with the highest reductions for those who use natural gas. Might want to remind you of our Mind Consciousness Blast to help the injured horse Barbaro, the winner of the Kentucky Derby. Remember, he broke his leg in the Preakness. They thought they were going to have to put that horse down after it came down with laminitis. Well, Barbaro is getting very, very well. This horse is getting stronger all the time. Veterinarians at Penn's George D. Wiedner Hospital have changed the cast now on Barbaro. And they basically say that Barbaro is doing very well, taken outside to graze, comfortable on both hind legs. The left foot, which had the laminitis, continues to gradually improve. I think they think it's a miracle. Speaking of miracles, I did get this email in from Vicky out of Sulphur Springs, Texas, just a few moments ago. She's asking for all of you to do whatever you can in your mind, consciousness, or prayer for a young man. He's 15 years old. His name is Sean. Doctors discovered a cyst on his lower spine today. It tells you how lucky we are, those who are healthy. They have scheduled surgery in the morning at East Texas Medical Center. He apparently is very scared, and his mom is a single mother. And she simply says, please say a prayer for him. So I wanted to pass that on. You do what you do. Mexico, once the center of a sprawling pre-Hispanic empire, is set to become the launch pad for an attempt to communicate with extraterrestrial life. Starting on Tuesday, enthusiasts from around the world will have a chance to submit text, images, video, and sounds that reflect human nature to be included in the message. Those contributions, part of the media company's Yahoo's Time Capsule project, will be digitized and beamed with a laser into space from the Pyramid of the Sun, now an archaeological site near Mexico City. And if you want to get to the coasttocoastam.com website, take a look at the Joshua Tree photos that we have just posted. You'll take a look at just some of the comings and goings when we were down at Joshua Tree, California on Sunday. I was out there with Tommy at Richard C. Hoagland's conference. I gave a little speech, but take a look at some of the pictures and you'll see some of the things that Richard provided to Tommy and myself. And, well, just take a look at the pictures. They're worth 1,000 words. We've got open lines for you. Here are the phone numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, that's ready to go for you right now at 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, we've got some people in stitches over some of the photos we've posted from Joshua Tree. We did have a good time, but again, if you have a computer, go ahead and just take a look at a few of those photographs. I wonder if Richard C. Hoagland has seen them yet. Let's go to the phones. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mr. Norris. Pleasure speaking with you. How are you doing?
Thank you. Good.
Hey, the other night, me and a couple of coworkers, we were staring at the full moon on our break, and you know, we're just talking about how fascinating it was. And one of them said, Norrie believes we did land on the moon. We were talking about how a bunch of things about how we didn't and a bunch of conspiracy theories and such. And, you know, I found that they were coast-to-coast listeners, which is really, really crazy. I thought I was the only person up this late listening to the radio.
Oh, no, there are many of us.
Yeah, and so I was just wondering, what do you believe as to why we did land on the moon as opposed to why we didn't? I mean, what kind of things do you think would support evidence that we did?
Well, first of all, to me, it's logic, and it's a belief system in some of the many astronauts that I have talked to over the course of my broadcast career. You know, when people tell us things, here's an example. I believe, without any question or doubt, that the Holocaust happened during the very horrible days of Hitler. I believe that. I don't have any direct proof, do I? I was born in 1950. The war was over when all that happened. But I believe that. The same with the moon landing. I believe in the astronauts who risked their lives for us, that they went there, that they landed, that our technology worked. Strangely, because, you know, sometimes they were put together with baleen wire. And I think we do a great injustice to the men and women who risked their lives during this Apollo program and other space programs to help us all out in humanity when we simply say we never went to the moon. I think it's possible that staged photographs may have gotten mixed in with real photographs, giving some of those people who don't think we went to the moon the credence to run with what they've got. But it's based on a belief system and the belief of the people who went there, and that's good enough for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just always believed it was more economically efficient to fake it. I mean, it's cheaper. It was necessary in the Cold War, especially, I mean, considering Russia and China, or I think Japan has some kind of investigation as to if it's possible or not. And China says it's not, and Russia says it's not possible to this day. So, I mean, I don't know. This still seems like it would have been cheaper and easier to fake it instead of actually doing it. And considering there's never been a live – I don't know if there was a live broadcast before that moon landing, and considering that there was a live broadcast and it was from another object in space, I think it's – I mean, that's the only reason why. But, I mean, considering I've never spoken to an astronaut, I've got to offer your opinion as probably a more credible one. But it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. And as you know, as I talked about a couple months ago, that once the Russians, the Soviets at the time, decided to curtail their push to put a man on the moon, we, you know, kept doing what we were doing. But there was a moment, this push to become the first. We were actually going to send an astronaut to the moon and keep him there, and hopefully he would stay alive in whatever kinds of habitat we sent there with him, almost like a bubble house. And we were going to drop supplies down to him every once in a while until we really got going with the technology. I mean, that was in the plans, and they had found an astronaut who had volunteered to do that. That's pretty gutsy. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hello there. Good morning.
Hi, George. This is Terry from Toronto, Canada.
Hey, Terry. Welcome.
How you doing? I know you had a guest on that was talking about leprechauns a while ago.
Yes, well, I've had two over the last week. One was Ron Quinn, who wrote a book called Little People. And then yesterday we had Dave Elwell, who talked about leprechauns.
I believe it was Ron. He was saying something about these gentlemen that saw a leprechaun, and when they saw the leprechaun in the space that they saw it, the grass wouldn't grow.
After
they saw it, yeah. And I remember a show a long time ago that you were talking about a gentleman that was working out in a farm field, and he was working, and he just disappeared. And around there, around the part where he disappeared, the grass didn't grow there either.
So what's your take on all of this?
I'm just wondering, like, could this be like a higher vibration thing? I know you guys talk about that quite a bit. Like a different dimension sort of thing. Like, I was wondering, why wouldn't the grass grow or anything grow around it?
I don't know. That's a good question. It's the same thing with those possible landings of purported UFO craft. You get that burned out look, or that look where nothing seems to grow. But I don't know. That's a good question. International line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah, welcome to the... And by the way, it's Doug Elwell, not Dave Elwell. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Rob from Ontario.
Hey, Rob. Welcome.
Good. George, my sister and I were watching TV about 6 years ago, and it was the 6 o'clock news, okay, and ABC, this is prime time, buddy. This isn't Inquirer or anything else. They came out with this clip about the ruins on the dark side of the moon, and my sister and I looked at each other, and we're like, what the hell? And they proceeded to talk about the ruins that were there. They're ancient landing sites that were there when the astronauts landed on the Apollo mission. Okay, and they proceeded to show some schematics, and then this thing fizzled off and went to a commercial. And we looked at each other, and we're like, what the hell is this? This is primetime news. And I'd like to ask you if you know anything about this.
No, I do not believe ABC News has ever, ever done a program like that. You may have picked it up somewhere. Maybe a local affiliate was running something, or maybe it was off one of your cable outlets. But I can just about guarantee that I don't think the major network did a show about artifacts on the backside of the moon. I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I'd be willing to bet. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
How's it going?
It's going well so far.
Nice to talk to you, George. I listen to the show all the time. Got an excellent program.
Thank you.
All right, first off, I just wanted to do a spit out real quick about the whole Foley thing going on. I think the Democrats are paying a little bit too much attention to that side of the thing and not focusing on what we should be focusing on, which is, you know, the North Korea threat and Iraq and the rest of that.
Well, I think everybody should be concentrating on that right now. Of course, the Foley situation, which we really haven't talked about on this program because that's really mainstream. But, you know, they are like sharks, obviously, and I think the Republicans would have done the same thing. They're going for the jugular. They're trying in an election moment to do everything they can to make their own party look good. And, you know, it's all happening. But you are right. I think our biggest concern right now is this North Korean situation and ultimately the Iranian situation as well. And I got to tell you, this is a very tense time on our planet. And you may not really fully realize the scope and danger of this. And I don't know, quite honestly, if North Korea indeed set off some kind of nuclear blast. It was pretty small, so that means either something went wrong or they probably didn't have one in the first place. And then I think a lot of people who are on edge after this supposed earthquake hit the Japan area thought it was another nuclear test. I don't believe it was. The point, though, is North Korea, if they don't have it already, they will have it soon. And if they have it soon, then it could get into the hands of organizations and groups like Al-Qaeda. One of the reasons why we're bringing in Jeffrey Epstein next hour is to talk about that possible threat. These are very tense times for us right now, and we need, as a nation and as a world, to immediately begin to do something about this, because you've got some crazy people now who have the capability of sending missiles that could destroy cities and, you know, wiping out Japan, wiping out other areas in Europe, indefinitely reaching the Los Angeles area and in Hawaii. And we need to do something about that right now. And all this rhetoric is going to delay the inevitable. We need to get going. Let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Jack from Bradenton, Florida.
Hi, Jack. Thanks for calling.
Hey, George, I just want to say I really look up to you, and I really respect everything you do.
Well, thanks.
And I just want to say I'm recently involved in a 12-step program, and I've been listening to your show for quite a long time now. And I've always watched your show, and I'm always searching for something, if you can understand that. It's always like I'm trying to find something. And I was just wondering, I mean, is there any books that you've read or anything you've done that just kind of given you hope or just let you realize there was a higher power out there?
Well, I like to say you're going to look at mine, Worker in the Light, but I'm not going to take advantage of that tacky way to promote. But get yourself a small book. It's very small. You can probably get it on Amazon.com. It's called The Magic of Believing by a fellow by the name of Claude Bristol, who has passed on now. That is it's a small book, but it's fantastic. I think the world of it. It does give you hope. It gives you some abilities that you might not think you had. And start with that, first and foremost.
Okay, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, I appreciate you being on the program. Next up, Wild Card Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, George? You have to forgive me here. I'm bad with names. But you had a guy on your terrorist connection, Mr. Amin, I think it was.
Hamid Amir was his
Amira.
Name.
Okay, I'm sorry. Have you had any contact with him since or any updates on him? Or are you expecting to even have an update with him? Or
yeah, we'll probably have an update with him. He, of course, went on the Glenn Beck program on CNN the next day. We helped Glenn out make a contact with Hamid, and he's going to be in Las Vegas shortly. As a matter of fact, our guest next hour is arranging his visit to the United States, and I'm sure we'll get him on then as well. And of course, what he said was he believes that the Al-Qaeda has nukes in this country now, and nobody has been able to back that up yet.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Okay, appreciate you being part of the program. If you want to email me, well, that's always simple. It's george@coasttocoastam.com. Just fire away with that. We're going to continue this hour with open lines, and we're bringing in Jeffrey Epstein for either the full show or at least 2 hours, and we'll just chat with him about the situations that are happening worldwide that, whether you know it or not or believe it or not, affect you, your family, your friends, and the other people you care about. Yes, get your fingers ready. Just touch your Touchtone telephone and get right into open lines this hour. Here's a couple little notes for you. By the way, great chat with you Streamlink members tonight. Enjoyed it. Borders Bookstore in Pasadena on South Lake Avenue. I will be out there this Thursday. Circle your calendar from 5 to 7 p.m. Our Worker in the Light book signing. I can't stay too late after that. I got to skedaddle to get back here to Los Angeles to do the show. But this Thursday, Borders Bookstore, South Lake Avenue in Pasadena, I'm there between 5 and 7 p.m. And then on Friday night, I'll be in Seattle, KVI Radio, our great affiliate there, our number one rated station, by the way, in Seattle. We are going to do the show there on Friday the 13th. And then that Saturday, I've got a book signing at Third Place Books in Lake Forest Park, Washington. That one is at 6:30. That's a late one. So come on by, say hello. I really look forward to seeing you. And welcome to Open Lines, Coast to Coast time, west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi there.
Oh, hi, George. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Calling from Vancouver, B.C.
Sure. I'm not too far from Seattle, where I'll be this weekend.
Oh, good, good. George, I'm wondering if you've ever heard or read of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, and if you've ever read
it. I have heard it. I have not read it.
Yeah, well, you know, I've read it, and it was pretty shocking. I know, you know, I know a lot of Jewish people, and I know a lot of decent Jewish people, but I think there's a distinction between people who subscribe to Zionism as opposed to people who follow the Jewish faith, and that seems to be delineated in that document, which has been called fraudulent, by the way, but I found it pretty shocking when I read it.
Okay, well, I'll try to read it. I haven't read it yet, honestly. And if you ever ask me about a book that I haven't read, I will tell you, and I haven't read that. Thanks. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, how you doing
Good.
Tonight?
What's going on?
Hey, I had a question that nobody can seem to give me a actual answer to, but I bet you could. What happened to Pluto?
Pluto's gone, no longer a planet. It's now just an object floating around out there in space.
Okay, did it, like, blow up?
No, they came up with a bunch of astronomers meeting in the Prague, came up with a new definition for planets, and Pluto didn't fall into that category, so they pulled it out of the old solar system.
Oh, okay, because the way I heard people talking around here, where I live in Georgia, by the way, northwest Georgia.
Yeah.
There, I've heard some crazy things.
What do they say? What are they saying in Georgia? That it blew up?
Yeah. But it's gone.
It's there.
Oh, okay. And I had something else that I've wanted to ask you for over a year now, but I could never get through. Where could I find information specifically on, like, government testing as far as why they would test somebody's brain waves? Why they would be interested in...
You can do a Google search or a search on the internet and just do that. Brain testing, microwaving, you know, electronic microwaving of people's brains, all that stuff. All that stuff will come up.
Okay. Because from the age of about... It started when I was around in kindergarten, and it ended when I was around 13, when I started questioning, why am I going to the doctor all the time?
Mm-hmm.
But they would... hook wires to my head with pieces of, like, scotch tape. And they would always say, oh, well, we want to test your brain waves. And I always questioned why, but nobody would ever want to tell me why. And I'd be like, you know, well, I'm normal like every other kid. I don't get in any trouble. I get good grades. I go to church on the weekends like every other kid. Why pick me out of the crowd? But that's always kind of bothered me. And I noticed... They would always try to make me go to sleep.
Why?
I don't know. I've never been given an answer. My father was in the military. I know that he was in some kind of recon unit. And I know that he was in Vietnam. He poured pulled two tours of duty in Nam. And I've asked him, you know, it was always my father that would drop me off at these doctors. And I've asked him things about MK Ultra.
You think he was in on it?
I think he was, yeah. I'm kind of even scared to talk about it live on the air because I've never really... I have really bad dreams sometimes and a recurring nightmare.
So he would drop you off at these doctors'
offices.
They would do what they do, and then he'd show up, pick you back up again about an hour later or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know how much time would elapse sometimes. But, yeah, he would pick me up when it was done, when it was over. And it was always the same thing. They would give me a little cup of something to drink. And to this day, if somebody opens a bottle of, like, let's say Dr. Pepper or especially almond extract around me, I will get nervous. I don't like the smell of it. I don't want to be near it because I just remember that smell and a very bitter taste in my mouth. And they would get angry with me because I wouldn't fall asleep. I would fight falling asleep because they wouldn't tell me what I was doing there or why they were doing it. And it just, even when I was a child, it seemed bizarre to me that why are you doing this? But I was always told it was to monitor my brain waves.
How strange.
Yeah. And I've never really
And your father never admitted any of this stuff?
No. He doesn't want to talk about it to this day. When we ask him things he would do in Vietnam, like, what did you do when you were over there? He doesn't want to talk about it.
But I can't believe he would let them experiment and test you.
Yeah.
I
was never told why. Why they would want to monitor my brain waves. Because I know I'm highly intelligent. And they used to test my IQ like once a year.
What is it?
Anymore, I don't know. That all stopped, like I said, that all stopped when I started questioning them back.
And they left you alone entirely?
Yeah, they stopped making me go to psychologists. I had to go to psychologists all the time. People would come to my school at least once a year, no matter where I was in school. We moved a lot, of course. But they would come to my school at least once a year to test my IQ. And I just got bored with it. Finally, around the 7th, 8th grade, and I started questioning. They called her a tutor. And I'm like, I don't need a tutor. And she was like, well, we're just here to test your IQ. It doesn't necessarily mean you're dumb. I said, I know I'm not dumb.
Well, did these people ever ask you for anything?
I remember bizarre questions they would ask
me. Like what? Give me one of them.
Just things about just what, like what I would know, what I would understand. The extent of knowledge that I would have. For example, when my mother was in college, she was going to nursing school. I was about 9 or 10 years old. She took me to one of her lectures in this big lecture room. It was huge inside this campus. And the professor was down front talking about DNA, and I remember this so specifically because he asked the whole entire class, what do you think bonds DNA together? And nobody was answering. I said, Mom, this is simple. And she's like, what? And I said, it's sugar. Yell sugar. Tell him sugar. And I just couldn't hold it back anymore, so I yelled really loud, sugar. And I guess I answered the question right. But that was like at 9 years old.
I would like you to follow up with us on this. This is bizarre. I want to take some more calls, but I want to dive into this with you. We are working on a program that has to do with microwaving of people, and you might fit right into that. That is strange. The fact that your dad would drop you off, man, that's strange. Wild Card Line, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Where are you calling
from? I'm about 3 miles south of San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
And my name is Rose. I spoke to you a couple of months ago and about my neighbor problem, and you said, I hope if you move, you don't have the same problem. Well, it's very similar.
You mean, wait a minute. I had suggested that you just get out of there, right?
Right, and I did.
All right.
They let me out of the lease in 3 months, and then I moved to another place that I just love. It's close to where my elderly parents live, and it's a wonderful apartment. Price is right. I'm on a fixed income, and then I have this really strange neighbor. I mean, he's from outer space or something. I don't know
what do you mean strange, Rose? What's he doing?
Well, when I first moved here, he would come up to me and say, very loudly in the courtyard area, "Well, hi, neighbor, welcome." And I looked kind of startled and said, "Oh, hi," you know. And,
well, that's not strange.
Well,
right?
I know. And then he'd come up behind me and kind of frighten me, and he'd walk back and forth in front of my apartment several times during the day. I'm on a lower floor right outside the grassy area of my apartment, and I had a friend over helping me, and he came up to me and said, "Oh, did I scare you the other day?" "Oh, I'm sorry." And I thought, "Yes, you did scare me." And it's escalated now where his new wife is working nights, and it's a turnaround day for me because I'm living their schedule instead of my schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a guest on last week. I think it was an astrophysicist who wrote a book about how to turn your life around. Do you remember who I'm talking about? I don't know his name. I tried to look it up on your website today, and it wouldn't let me into
Gosh,
October.
I think that might have been Ian or Art's guest.
No, it was one of you. I know it was you. I'm positive it was.
Okay.
Maybe it was the week before.
Might have been. All
very,
right.
Very interesting gentleman who said that he was a scientist but had written books about, you know, how to get into better places in your life. And it was a wonderful book and the way he explained it. And I just was trying to look it up on the website today, and it wouldn't let me into the past shows, and I didn't remember his name to look it up alphabetically.
Okay, so what are you going to do now? You're going to move again?
No, I hope not. I really can't afford to. I mean, it cost me about $2,000 to move here.
Okay, I think, Roz, you got to start getting, leave your neighbors alone. Maybe you're just too friendly with some of these people. Thanks for calling. Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Joe from Texas.
Hey, Joe, what's going on?
Hi, I had a couple questions for you. Have you ever heard of the guy named Prophet Yowie?
Oh, of course. We've had him on the program a couple times. He was out there scouting for UFOs.
Really? Yeah, because I used to intern for a radio station in Tampa, and we saw this clip of this radio, not a radio station, a news channel, actually interviewing him in the middle of the football field.
Yep, and then this huge old craft would show up, right?
Yeah, broad daylight. And I was like, oh, my God, is this guy for real? And that was the other question. I mean, do you really think he's for real? I mean, did you ever see anything like that before?
I'm not sure anymore. There is talk that what you saw might have been like a huge balloon, and that he kind of like waves his friend at the right time and they let the thing go from a certain spot. I'm not sure. All I know is that he kind of went over the deep edge afterward, claiming that the media was all out to get him. And, we had him on a couple times, and then he just got stranger and stranger.
Yeah, I heard he was doing something in Las Vegas a while back, and he was going to do this huge mass media thing, and nobody showed up. So, I mean, I don't know if he was for real or not, but
nobody showed.
Really strange. But I love your show, and thanks for taking my call.
Okay, I appreciate you being part of the program. First time caller line, your turn. Hi there.
Hi there, George.
Hi.
This is Tammy Warren. I'm in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm a first time caller.
Well, good for you. What's up?
Well, my boyfriend got me hooked about 3.5 months ago, David Vincerelli. And as always, I'm fascinated by your show, and I had a question for you.
Okay.
Okay, the question is there any sort of list that has any sort of speculation on who the Antichrist might be? I was listening earlier with your guest, and it just fascinated me, if you had any sort of idea if there was a list or anything.
Well, you know what? I probably wouldn't speculate on who the Antichrist is because I don't have the proof yet. But there are some people who think that the Antichrist could be a fellow out there by the name of the Maitreya, who is a Middle Eastern type person who lives in London. And so his name has been kicked around. And, you know, they've talked about some government leaders being the Antichrist and things like that. I'm not sure the Antichrist has been really revealed yet to any of us, to the point where we could even speculate on who that person might be.
Wow. Well, again,
but I do believe he will be here. I don't have any doubts in that.
Well, I've been listening to your show, like I said, for the last couple of months, and the year 2012 just keeps coming up over and over and over again, not only by those that are studies of the Bible or of religion. You've had other people on the show as well that dealt with horrific things like astrophysics and other people that keep mentioning the year 2012. So it just seems very, very coincidental that all these different people from all walks of life keep mentioning the same exact year.
Yep. It's going to be an interesting year.
Okay. Well, thank you again. I enjoy your show, and you're just fascinating and a wonderful person.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go to our wild card line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello. It's Timbo from San Diego.
Hey, what's going on?
I kind of have this dilemma. I've had, like, a lot of psychic experiences in my life.
Why is that a dilemma?
Well, because I've never, like, trained in it or anything. It just has happened to me.
You're not using it
and
to your full potential.
I don't use it, and it's just like I go into a home and the first time it happened to me, there was a little girl named Emily, and I was out on a balcony doing some work out there, and my drill died. So I put my battery, I looked around for a place to charge it, and I could smell the smell of death, and it was really strong before I even entered the house, and I walked around in the master bedroom and couldn't find an outlet, so I went to the kitchen, and unless I unplugged like a microwave or something, that was the only way to find anything. So I opened the door to this room, before that, there was a little girl who was saying she was 8 years old and that she died in a car crash, and then when I walked in the door, there was a shrine, and it was a little girl, and she told me her birthday, and it was sitting right there in front of me. And so that's the first time knew, like,
whose house was this that you were in?
It was just a place where I was working. But the little girl's name was Emily, and she had died. She was hit by a car. And she just put those thoughts in my mind, kind of like you got a song in your head and you can't get rid of it. So I didn't actually hear a voice from outside, just someone like mentally telling me what happened to them.
So things like this happen a lot with you, don't they?
Yeah, this has happened like at least maybe 50 times. In every single instance, I knew the person who they were trying to communicate with and the person's name who passed away.
Well, you got to continue training yourself on this because you've got a gift.
I've never had any training. I don't know what to do. And I'm a Christian, and I've been told that it's like kind of a taboo kind of thing.
No, it's not. And how did this start for you? Do you remember?
Well, one thing was I had cancer, and I was diagnosed with diffuse cystic lymphoma, and they said that I wouldn't live for 3 months. They said I'd die. And all the people that had my type of cancer had died, like, within 6 months of it, and I was the only one at that time who lived, I guess. So I went to Portland University, and there were six, I guess, people there that had it, and a few people had the same kind of cancer at Stanford. And I was living in Southern Oregon at the time, and so my mom was in college, and she was having her finals and stuff, and so my aunt took me up there. And in the morning after having surgery, I woke up and saw these big, huge, like, rashes on my, and they were, like, circular, and they looked like little pimples, and they were on my chest. And I asked the doctor in the recovery room what they were, and he said, actually, I had died during my surgery.
Oh, my. Well, I tell you what, you've got the gift, and you need to perfect it. There's some people out there that can help you. You want to get a hold of us, be glad to get them in touch with you. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.